Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
I welcome all of us to the month of June. Amen. It's a blessed month already, isn't it? You know, start every month with an expectation in your heart. Believe God that this will be that month for you. Amen? Wow. Well, I want to remind us that today is our communion service. So please do see to it that you join us at the end of the service as we share the communion together in fellowship. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's important. The Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples, he gave us this ordinance to always take the communion in remembrance of what he has done for us on the cross. And I really believe that the communion has power. My sister-in-law was one time hospitalized, and it was so bad. It was very, very bad. We had gone there to pray many times. She had Moses Kotani. We had gone to pray for her many times, but she was not getting better. She kept getting worse and worse and worse. Then our lady pastor of then, she asked my wife and I, have you guys given her the communion? And we said, no, we've never done that. I said, oh no, you should give her the communion. So I think my wife went back there with the communion, and we gave her the communion. And I don't want to lie to you, not long after that, my sister was out of the hospital. My sister-in-law was out of the hospital. So I started realizing that there's something in the communion. There's actually power in the communion, great power. Bishop Doug one time had an attack. Satan came to the room where he was, and like he saw the devil. He was so scared. He didn't know what to do. I mean, I think I'm dead. I mean, I've seen the devil. Then he says the Holy Ghost told him, go and take the communion quickly. So the devil had come to his bedroom. That's where the devil appeared to him. And he was scared. Then immediately the Holy Ghost says to him, go take the communion now. So he rushed downstairs. He opened the drawers. He found some crackers. And he mixed it with something. And he quickly said, I'm taking this communion in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He took the communion. And strength came back. There's power in the communion. Smith Wigglesworth, who I think he raised 16 people from the dead, was taking communion every day. Every day. There's power in the communion. There's a young man in this church. There was a season we didn't take communion. This guy used to struggle with a lot of substance abuse and all of those things. And you know, one day he just told me, he said, Pastor, you know, I don't know why we stopped taking the communion. He says to me, you know, every time I would take that communion, I don't know, I will have some power. I always had some power. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, boy, you know what? We're bringing back the communion. When you take the communion, don't take it like you are joking. There's power in it. Real power. This church could have cleared during COVID. We are still here. Yeah. One of the things that has kept this church is that we keep tapping into the life of Jesus every Friday. Every Friday we go and take the communion. So we are, the Bible says that he who take the communion is one with me. I'm one with him. But the more you take the communion, you start having Jesus, the life of Jesus. You're constantly with Jesus. I I personally think, apart from the teachings God gives us in this church, one of the things that has preserved this church is the communion and this Friday prayers, coupled with fasting. Those things that might not mean a lot to you, mean a lot in the realm of the Spirit. And apart from the communion we take every Friday, we also take the communion once a month, corporately, because some of us don't come on Fridays, which is actually not a good thing. But every beginning of the month, we take the communion. Why? Again, to commit the month to God and to receive strength. The Bible says Elijah was running away from Jezebel. He went and slept under a terebinth tree. And while he was there, the angel came to him. And the angel gave him bread and water. He ate. And after eating, he slept. Then the angel woke him again and said to him, "Eat some more, because the journey ahead of you is long." So Elijah took some bread again and some water. And the Bible says when he arose, he walked for 40 days and 40 nights, nonstop. And the Bible is quick to say, in the strength of the bread. The strength of the bread Elisha ate, strengthened him, and he walked for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached the mountain of the Lord. He arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food, 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Horeb, to the mountain of God. In the strength of the bread. There are things that you would be able to do in the strength of the communion. It's just that you are not aware, so you think it is your strength. And also because you don't have faith, but you are receiving faith. In the strength of the bread. There are certain things that God gave the church that are power if you know how to use them. One of them is the anointing oil. One of them is the communion. One of them is your prayer. They look weak, but they carry a lot of power. Look, when we are taking the communion this morning, in a few minutes, please do well to believe that as you are eating that bread, the life of Jesus, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. What you eat is what you become. Your body is a reflection of your food. When a person is gaining weight or losing weight, we always check what they are eating or what they are not eating. You are what you eat. That's why Smith Wigglesworth ate the communion every day. You are what you eat. Are you here? May God bless you this morning. In Jesus' name. Also, I would like to say thank you to all of you that have committed yourselves to help me go to Ghana in August. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. If we all keep our commitments, Pastor will be able to go to Ghana and come back properly. Those of you that couldn't commit last week, please do see me at the end of the service if you want to help me go. Any amount that God lays on your heart will be a blessing. Praise the Lord. Will you believe this? There are people who committed here last week Sunday to give 5,000, the same Sunday they gave the money. Do you believe it? It's true. The same day. The same day. They committed for it and they paid it the same minute. This trip is from God. It's from God. So I want to encourage you. The banking details are there. Don't take a commitment and you don't honor yourself. Don't do that. Because I'm not going to Ghana for myself. I'm going there to be ordained into the ministry, to come back to South Africa and continue doing the will of God. Get involved in this trip. You might not go with me at this time. Other times you will go with me. But this time you will go with me through your giving. Through your giving. You are going with me. Praise the Lord. Now, there's a young girl that came here last week Sunday. It was her first day in this church. She committed to give 500 rand. First day in the church. First day. She was a VIP. She committed for 500. How many times have you been coming to this church? It was her first day. Giving has never been about your capacity, it's your heart. It has never been about your capacity. There's another young man, he's not here this morning. He's been attending this church for less than 2 months. He committed to give 3,500. How many messages of mine has he ever listened to? It has got nothing to do with your means. It has got everything to do with your heart. If you are a giver, you are a giver. If you are stingy, you are stingy. With a million rand or with 1 rand, you are stingy, you are stingy. Ah. I want to thank God this morning. My son Yonker is in the house. Praise the Lord. Let's celebrate Jesus. And you have taken me by surprise. I wasn't expecting you. Yonker got knocked by a car few months ago on his way to church. He almost died. He was walking to church. And on this road down here, a car knocked him. A man driving a red VW something. And apparently he was drunk. So we've been trusting the Lord. And I'm glad to see you, Uncle, again. You will be back in your full form. And you'll continue serving the Lord. Put your hands together for Jesus one more time. Amen. Isn't it interesting that Satan meant to discourage him from never coming to church again? I mean, he has broken bones, the leg, here. And I want to thank the doctor and the family to also going there. Did you guys manage to go see him? Daddy, yeah, they also went there. So we're going through that situation. And I was just asking myself, what will happen to your uncle this time? But here's your uncle. And I think, you were not wearing this shirt. You're wearing another t-shirt, something. Yeah. But here he is. After being knocked by the car, as soon as he recovered small, he's back in the house of God. Put your hands together for the living Christ. It's a blessing. I'm very encouraged. This morning, let's quickly look at, we're going to introduce a series this morning. Amen. The series is entitled, The Greatest Among You. The greatest among you. Praise the Lord. The greatest among you. Or shall we say the greatest among us? Praise the Lord. The very words of the Lord Jesus Christ taken from the book of Matthew 23, verse 11. The Bible says, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. The greatest among you is not the one who drives the fastest car. The greatest among you shall not be the one who wears the most expensive clothes. The greatest among you shall not be the one with the most money. He says, the greatest among you will be your servant. This morning, I came to understand why God chose Mary. I've been a Christian for many years, serving the Lord, working in the church. I've always wondered, why did God choose Mary? Finally, this morning, the Lord came to me and he explained to me why he chose Mary. That might not be the only explanation, maybe there are others, but as for me, I mean, he told me. If you come with me to the book of Luke 1 verse 28, the Bible says, having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. Hallelujah. High, not just favored, highly favored one. Oh, may that be your testimony, that you shall be highly favored. Amen. Highly favored. Amen. Highly favored. Amen. Highly favored. Ah. Highly favored. What does it mean to be favored? It's to be chosen. A favored person is a chosen person. Meaning, when there are two people, they choose you. There are five people, they still choose you. You are favored when you can be chosen. To be favored is to be chosen. Especially to be chosen for something good. Mary here is being chosen. The Bible says you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed are you among women. Among women. Listen to me, Church of God. There were so many women at that time. There have always been more women than men. Which criteria are you using to choose who must be the mother of Jesus? Mary is not the only virgin. She wasn't. In every church, can I tell you something? No matter the promiscuity, there are always virgins. Always. And when I mean virgin, not only a female virgin, also male virgins. You must know that not all men sleep around. Don't generalize everybody. Not every daughter sleeps around. There are some women that no matter what you do, she will do it. And there are other people that God has helped. They don't do it. They don't do it. So in the days of Jesus, before Jesus was born, there were virgins. Mary was just one of the virgins. That's why the Bible, the angel told her, you are highly favored. Your name will be known forever. In the history of humanity, you have made history. Becoming the mother of Jesus, your name will forever be in people's lips. The name Myra means bitter. It's not a good name, naturally. Mara means bitter. But this young lady, because of her life, she had turned a bad name into a fantastic name. Today, everybody calls themselves Mary, and they don't even know that it actually means bitter. And a good name as Judas. Judas means praise. That's a very good name. One man has spoiled that name for all eternity. Nobody has ever named his child again Judas. So on one side, you have a bad name, but a good person, and the name became a good name. On the other side, you have a good name and a bad person, and the name became a bad name. Please do justice to the name you are carrying. Amen. I said do justice to the name you are carrying. Amen. That people tomorrow must be willing to call their children your name. Mary, chosen by God. Are you here? Blessed are you among women. Blessed are you among your colleagues. Blessed are you among the students, your classmates. Blessed are you among your peers. Why? You are highly favored. Now, I'm saying to you that the Lord showed me this morning one of the reasons why Mary was chosen. If you come with me, just 10 verses lower, verse 38 of the same Luke 1, you are now finding Mary's response after that the angel was done talking to her, after the angel told her everything that he wanted her to do. Listen, this is not like Mary talks to this angel every day. Do you understand? So like they are friends. This was her first time to see this angel. This was her first time probably to even see an angel. And this angel comes and gives her this news that as virgin as you are, and as a fiancé, a beloved as you are, pledged to be married, you're going to be pregnant. You're going to be pregnant and you're going to give birth to a son and you'll call his name Jesus. Today, it sounds so nice because we have seen what it has done. But back then, pledged to be married, preparing yourself for your marriage, then you are told you will be pregnant. And after you are pregnant, you will never be able to say how the baby came. You tell them it's the Holy Spirit. If it is something that happens often, people will understand. Has never happened before you, has never happened after you. You are telling us you are pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Meanwhile, Joseph keeps seeing you with Jake by the corner. Every time you go to fetch water, you stop by Jake and you keep saying that Jake is your cousin. Now you are pregnant and you are saying it's the Holy Spirit. You are saying it's the Holy Spirit. The mother of Joseph sat him down. All his uncles said, are you a fool? Have you ever heard something like this before? This girl has embarrassed you and she has embarrassed all of us. She takes us as stupid idiots. This is all that is waiting Mary in this good news that the angel came to give her. And listen to her response. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. In other words, I know what is awaiting me. I know I'm going to lose Joseph. I know I'm going to ridicule my parents. I know a lot of people are going to say, you know, we used to trust you, you know. We thought you were a good girl. Look at what you've done. I know for a long time, I mean, even until I die, I will never be able to correct my reputation. But I am the Lord's servant. I'm not here for myself. I'm his servant. What he wants is what will happen. As I take you through this series, by the Spirit of God, you will understand why a servant is greater. She says, I am the Lord's servant. I know this is going to be difficult, very difficult. I'll never be able to clear my name. But it is what my master wants. My master wants my womb to bring forth his son. And I am the Lord's servant. I am here to serve my master. If my master says, I want this, I will comply. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. Brothers and sisters, before anything and after everything, I believe that statement by Mary is the major reason why God chose her. He knew she will do what he wants her to be done, even though it will come with at a big cost. He couldn't have the same trust for other virgins. He knew that Mary will carry out my will, even though it means losing her reputation. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? Like, he knew that this person, if I bring this to her, she will not try to save herself first. She is my servant. And a servant is interested in the will of the master. And because she is a servant and she is a yielded vessel, she will flow with me. Even though it means people will never trust her again. Even though it means people will cut her off. Even though it means nobody will want to be associated with her ever again. But she is the Lord's servant. And as the Lord's servant, she will carry out the will of the Father. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. I'm not here for my will. Servanthood, more than anything else, is a battle of wills. It's a battle of wills. Which will prevail? The will of the master or the will of the servant? Which will prevail? And to the degree to which the master's will prevail, to that degree, you become a great vessel in the eyes of the master. And as far as he is concerned, you might not be known by men, but because consistently you seek for his will to come to pass, as far as he is concerned, you will be the greatest person ever. How Mary is different from us today. A servant is someone who does the will of another. You do the will of another person. As a servant. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May such a statement come out of your mouth one day. I am the Lord's servant. I'm not going to sit here and argue and ask. She just asked one question. Do you know she only asked one question? How will it happen? Because, I mean, I get it, you know, I'm a virgin. I've never done this thing before. And the answer of the angel was enough. When the angel said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Do you think she understand what those things meant? I mean, has she ever had something like that before? But the answer was enough for her. She said, you know what? I am the Lord's servant. Let it be done according to what you have said me. I don't have a problem. If this is what the master wants, that is what the master is going to get. I don't need a lot of explanation. As long as you can tell me, because I'm a virgin, I've never ever taken seed before. So if you tell me you're going to have another technology to do it, that's the only thing I'm concerned about. Do you know she never asked, how will Joseph feel? She didn't ask, are you aware that I'm pledged to be married? I mean, like, have you thought about that one? Are you aware that I'm the firstborn and I'm trying to break the curse of marriage and this and this and that? Are you aware that if I take in this baby, I might repeat my other cousins, my other this that got married that got children out of wedlock? There was so much at stake. The joy of every young girl is to get married. And she was on the way of getting married. And this thing was coming to clear those plans. But I am the Lord's servant. Would you say that with me this morning? I am the Lord's servant. Would you be able to refer to yourself that way? I am the Lord's servant. I seek his will. From the moment I wake up, Master, what do you want today? We are so different, as I will be showing you in a minute. A servant is ready to serve his master, no matter the time or the circumstances. That's a servant. That's a servant. He's ready to serve his... First of all, a servant has a master. That is where I think you should start. You must know that if you are a servant, it means you have what? A master. And do not worry. I'm going to take you deep into servanthood during the month. Today, I'm just introducing the subject to us. Like, understand why Mary was chosen and why people get chosen and people don't get chosen. Just now, you're going to start arguing with the angel. Telling the angel that, no, this is the wrong address. I don't think you came to the right. You know, the other Marys in the area, I don't think you came to the right one. Me, if you knew who I am, you are going to know that I cannot be taking babies right now. Man, I'm getting ready to take a ring. Luke 17, verse 7. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? Huh? Like you just went outside, you clean, you wash the dishes. After you wash the dishes, you come. Your boss say, oh, you've washed the dishes. Come and see, let's watch TV together. Verse 8. No! He says, prepare my meal. Put on your apron. Serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. Ah! Are we reading the Bible together? This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, a master will not say to you, oh, you are coming from plowing in the field, you are tired. Come and sit and eat. As soon as you come from plowing, he says to you, prepare my meal as well. And after you finish preparing the meal, wear your apron. Don't come to me being dirty. Wear your apron and come and serve me while I'm eating. You are hungry. You are from the field, but you have to serve me first. You are hungry. You are from the field. You have to watch me eat first. You will eat later, but for now, you have to put your master's need first. This is our struggle. He said, then you can eat later. Look at verse 9. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? I mean, like, you went, you plowed, you came back, then you prepared a meal for me, and after that you are standing there, you are just, you know, swallowing the saliva as I'm eating the piece of chicken, and you are hungry. After you've done all of that, does the master say, oh, thank you so much, you are such a good servant? Of course. Tell your neighbor, of course not. These are the words of Jesus. Eh? No, it's not like, this is Jesus speaking. He said, of course not. I'm sure you are ready for verse 10. Ooh, look at verse 10. He said, in the same, say with me, in the same way, in the same way, in the same way. Tell your neighbor, in the same way, in the same way, in the same way. He says, when you obey me, when you obey me, Jesus is your master. He says, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. We don't need any payments. We did our duty. Uh-oh. Pastor didn't even say thank you, you know. I've been taking pictures for a month. Pastor didn't even thank you. The only thing I know, he's been criticizing all my pictures. He's been saying I'm not doing a good job. Uh-oh. We are unworthy servants. We simply did our duty. Oh, this is not how we are. We are worthy, highly worthy servants. Please, highly worthy. Please put some right adjective to me. We are worthy servants. Very worthy. Don't take me for granted. The blood of Jesus washed me. The anointing is upon me. I'm a worthy servant. After I've done something, have the decency to appreciate. And this in itself is the mystery behind all the offenses in the church, all the laziness in the church, the unwillingness to serve. People think they are worthy. They are worthy. And number two, they pick and choose which one they will do. If you come to Mary and you say to Mary, Mary, after your wedding, God wants you to go and preach the gospel in Singapore. Oh, wow. That sounds good. Is there a flight ticket? Is the flight ticket ready? Yeah, okay. No. Hey, what about my hotel room? Everything is prepared. Oh, okay. I'll consider. Tell God that I'm working on it. You know, I've got a very tight schedule. I work a lot. So I will see how I will arrange this thing for God, okay? But I'll pray about it. But God comes and says, be pregnant while you are a virgin and promise to be married. Tell God I'm sorry. Actually, God didn't send you. Because it's hard, it's difficult, it requires a lot from you. It requires a lot of adjustment to be done from your end. Therefore, you pass. But if it is the nice ones, you even volunteer yourself. You volunteer yourself. As believers, we should see ourselves as servants of Christ. Not servants of our ego. Not servants of our own dreams. We are servants of Christ. Maybe I shouldn't preach this message. You are a servant of Christ. If you are a believer, because it says in the same way. Which way? The way he just mentioned to you. That he sent you to the field, you did everything, you come back, he gives another job, you finish, he gives another job, and after you do all of that, he said, please just go and eat something. Don't even expect anything from me. We are servants of Christ. People who are ready to do whatever he wants. Not the one we like. Not the one that suits our temperament or the one that suits our time and our schedule. No, you must be willing to do whatever your master wants. Then you are a servant. Anything else, you are not a servant. You are a colleague. Because a lot of us, you know, that's why we like, I am a friend of God. Do you know who God called a friend? And after how long he called him a friend? You just arrived today. No, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. Me and God, we are best buddies. You and God are not friends, though. God is the master. You are the servant. If you don't understand that, you would be arguing with him. That's why we don't flow with him.
Because it must make sense to us. It must make sense to us before we can do it. It must line up with our personal desires and our personal pursuit. Then we must consider doing it. We don't behave as servants. We behave as colleagues. We behave as, we are partners. Me and God are partners. So he can say something. I said, no, let's rather do it this one. We don't behave as servants. We don't behave like Mary. Maybe that's why he hasn't been choosing us. Because you start giving him the reasons why you can't be pregnant. You start telling him, and by the way, I haven't released a license for you to start getting pregnant. You are not Mary. The Holy Ghost has never impregnated anybody ever since the days of Mary. I am not giving you a license. Because I know you people, sometimes you hear your own thing. Not what is being preached. This is not about being pregnant. This is about obedience and about being a servant. Being a servant means whatever the master asks, I'm ready. And I'm willing to do. Look at us today. Your life, Jesus has no say. No say. Can he disrupt your wedding preparations? Oh, Jesus. Can Jesus disrupt your plans? Ah, we are sitting tightly, holding our things. He has no say. I said, what type of master am I? I can't send you to plow. I can't send you to cook a meal. I can't even expect you to sit and serve me. Oh. You know, cooking a meal for your husband and serving your husband are two different things. You can cook a meal. There are women, they cook a meal. The husband must go and dish for himself. Mm-hmm. Or they cook it, they dish it, but he must go and take it. Bring it on the table where he's going to sit and eat by himself. Some are worse. They don't cook it. They don't serve him. They don't do anything. They say to him, Annie, I feel a bit. I've got a leg pain. Do KFC tonight, honey. Do KFC tonight, honey. And plan for McDonald's tomorrow, because I think that pain might go lower. I remember this thing 3 years ago. It happened like that and I was incapacitated for a whole month. So rather, have a plan in place, my honey. Have a plan in place, my honey. Forget about washing clothes and all of those things. Yeah. Serving. You know, he says that you prepare the meal and you serve me while I eat. While I eat. If you watch movies where there are real servants, this fabricated one that we have today, a real servant will be there by the next to the table. You want water? He pours the water. Anything you want, he's just there making sure that you eat as a king. These our wives that we have today. I say, you go and dish up yourself. You look for the spoons and the things. You clean up your own spoons, because everybody has eaten and everything is dirty. You start managing it yourself as a scavenger. There's a man who told Bishop Dag that I'm a scavenger in my own house. I'm a scavenger. After the real people have eaten, I come for the thing they have, the leftovers. You find me scrapping the rice after the real people have eaten. In many of our lives, Jesus is as a scavenger. Jesus is scavenging your leftover time, your leftover money, your leftover days. When the real guys have taken the best part of you, then Jesus has to come behind and try to get something small here, something small there. Your best doesn't go to Jesus. Your best money doesn't go to Jesus. Your best time doesn't go to Jesus. You don't even use your body to serve Jesus. There's There's nothing that reveals you are a servant of the Lord. You are a servant of the Lord. You are the servant of the Lord. I am the servant. I am the Lord's servant. I don't need to understand that whole thing. If this is what the master wants, I'll give it to him. I don't need for him to send me personal letters explaining. Come and see us. We argue to pay our tithes. Then even the tithe, you don't pay the full tithe. You fabricate something, you say it's a tithe. I had a one-on-one during the week with a dear sister that the Lord has elevated. She's high in the corporation where she's working. And she was telling me about her problems. How her boss sent her to an area in Klabanede to go and sell the product. As high and mighty as she is, he said, hey, leave this office. Go there. Work. Her car broke. She got on a taxi. The taxi reached Klabane. She comes out and she's getting ready to go to the house where she's supposed to go and sell the product. She sees another house on the way to the house where she's going. And she decides, I think let me hit this one. Then I'm going to go and hit that one. She enters the house, the yard. A dog comes from nowhere. Bites her. After that, her boss doesn't call to check. Whole week, she's so hurt. I do all of this for you. You don't even check me if I'm healed. I said, oh, he must check you, ne? I think he should have checked you. No, when you're not ready, don't come for a one-on-one with me. If you don't know yourself, don't come, please. I'm begging you. Because now I will tell you. I said to her, my sister, you've mentioned to me here now that you went for outreach in Klabane. Me, I didn't know you do outreach. That's the word she used. That's the word she used. Her boss sent her for outreach of customers. I said, really? So you can also do outreach? I didn't know you can do outreach. I thought outreach is a word to never be mentioned to people like you. You are so high. You are so mighty. We shouldn't use a word called outreach. Meanwhile, your boss said, go to do outreach in Klabane for more customers. And you went. I asked her, can your boss Jesus ask you to go and outreach for him? Will you go? I ask her, have you ever gone for any outreach for Jesus, your main boss? Never. Never. You are going for the outreach of a man. The dog has beaten you. Now you are angry. I am the Lord's servant. By the grace of God, the Lord used me to open her eyes. She says to me, Pastor, you are right. You are right. You are right. This is not how my life is supposed to be. I claim I'm the Lord's servant. Of course, we're not talking about that. The series came even later. Like, but I don't see what I'm doing for him. The only thing I'm doing for him is the one I want. Hello. It's the one that suits me. It's the one that I enjoy. So that's the one I'm doing. But the one of being pregnant while I'm supposed to be married. I know you are taking chances. You are taking chances. You want to spoil my life. You are abusing me. You are manipulating me. Are you here? It's going to be a blessed service for all of us. It's going to become the Lord's servant. The Lord's servant. Bishop Oedipo was asked by God to go and open the Bible school. God didn't tell him where to open the Bible school.
He is there. And he told people, the Bible school is starting next week, Monday. The wife came to him, my husband. I don't know if you know that today is Friday. You told people the Bible school is starting on Monday. Monday is in 3 days' time. He says, he asked his wife, are you the owner of the Bible school? He asked her, are you the owner of the Bible school? The owner hasn't complained. The owner said the Bible school is starting on Monday. Are you the owner? Oh, you want to become the owner? He said, my husband, I hear you. I hear you. Saturday, as he's waking up in the morning, the owner shows him a building in a vision. He said, this is the building. Send somebody there. Tell them, I send you to that, to do the Bible school in this building. He wakes up, call one of the young men in the church. Do you know that street? There. There's a building there. He has never been there himself. He doesn't know that, but the Lord, the owner showed him the street and the building. So he says, there's a building there. Go inside. Tell them that we're going to be doing a Bible school there. And hear what they say. Come and tell me. The guy goes exactly the way he was told. Finds the building. Goes inside. Finds the man cleaning outside. He said, excuse me, sir. Are you the owner of this building? The man says, listen to the answer of the man that he has never met before. The man says, you are welcome, sir. Jesus Christ is the owner. I am the caretaker. How can I help you? That was the answer of the man. Jesus Christ is the owner. I am the caretaker. How can I help you? So he goes to the man and says, you know what? My pastor sent me here to ask you if we can use this building to do Bible school. He said, if it is for God, it will be for free. Tell your pastor to come and take over. The man became an elder in the church. The man became a pastor in the church. He joined the Bible school himself. Jesus is the owner. I am the caretaker. You know what is our problem? We think we are co-owners. He can never use your car, can never use your house, can never use your time. But we claim that he is the Lord. We claim that he is the master. You see, I'm trusting God for you and myself, that our mind, our attitude will change, so that like Mary, we can start being chosen and highly favored. Not just favored, highly. Why? Anything I want, she does. Anything I ask, she does. She never asks me a final question. If I say go talk to that person, she goes. She talks to the person. If I say don't do this today, do rather this, she does. Whatever. So she becomes great. Mary became great. Mary became the greatest woman. Because I am the Lord's self. I don't do my will. I do his will. I try to know what he wants. And I put my focus. This is what must happen. This is what the master wants. This is what the master wants. Do you know how highly favored you will be if your desire was to do the will of the master, not your own will? Do you know which doors he would have opened for you already? Because he will know, if I place her there, she will seek my will. Whatever I give her, whatever I give him, he will seek my will. Do you know how God will bless you if you were really his servant and you were trying to be his servant, not serve yourself? God has to beg around us. God has to sugarcoat around us.
go for an outreach on Wednesday. Hey, outreach. I'm tired. Forsake. How can you use such a word on me, outreach? Me? You must be grateful. But, you know, we are having a program, come and end. And we're asking ourselves, who can be the MC of this program? And, you know, we thought, we know you are busy. But we just thought maybe you could come and there will be great people. We're going to have the mayor there. There's going to be, Now, you know, I will clear up the whole day. I'll avail myself. I mean, just tell me the program. Tell me what you need me to do. I'll be there. How can you use outreach on me? Do you know who I am? Look at us. We are serving Jesus on our terms. We come when we want. We do what we want. We give what we want. I want to ask you a question. How is he a master? You show me. I mean, you tell me. How is he your master? In which way? Has it ever cost you anything? So he's also asking himself, why must I put my favor on you? Why must I put my favor on you? Because if I put my favor on you, you will take my favor for your own good. Would you use it for my glory? Will people know me through you? I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. As we close, let's look again at our opening scripture. Matthew 23, verse 11. Can we be all on our feet? No, please, let's stand up. We are at the end, actually. Oh, yes. Are you blessed to be here this morning? He who is the greatest. Will be a servant. Out there, I'll show you next week why we struggle to serve. Because, you see, out there, a servant is nothing. A servant is a nobody. So we come with that mind to change. I can't be a servant. Servants are a low rank. But in another kingdom, out there, a servant might be a nobody. Here, it's different. In his kingdom, the servant is greater than the one being served. So if you see our picture for the series, I think now you will understand it. A servant. Doesn't look like much, you see. People would think, so you never see some of us clean side the toilet. Me? Even sweep this church. Some of us have never seen. We think being here is the big deal. No. He sees differently. He values differently. I want us to really rethink the
The Bible says whatever is highly praised in the world is an abomination before the Lord. If you follow things in the world, chances are you will miss God. You will miss God because what people value is usually not what he values. And many a time, what people devalue is actually what he values. It's what he values. It's what he values. He told us, I came to seek and save the lost. We are having an outreach on the 15th. How many of us will commit and say, this is what the master wants? Master wants people to know that he is the answer. This is what the master wants. And we're going to make sure that the will of the master is carried out. No, we've come with projects. We've come with plans. We've come with excuses. Everybody will have something to do. But when you have a need, he must send all the angels, the archangel, the seraphim. He must send everything for you. An opportunity is coming for us on the 15th. To serve our master. He came to seek and serve those which were lost. Will you tell him, oh no, my womb is reserved. I can't. Will you avail yourself from now? No, this is what the master wants on the 15th. Pastor Pascal is just a mouthpiece. Even such programs should show that God is trying to lead this church. Because I will not come with such things. I'll have my own nice things. But Jesus is the answer. Can you help push that? This morning, a sister has been calling me since yesterday. From Manamakoteng. Manamakoteng. A sister from ABC, Patsima. She moved to Manamakoteng. She's been calling me, Pastor, I have 6 people that want to come to church. We don't have transport. Manamakoteng. Put her in contact with Shepherd Peter. And this morning, the taxi driver disappointed us. He increased the money. And even that money, he wanted 750 rand to go and face 6 people. And then we felt, no, it's at this stage, we don't have it. But there's somebody in the church, 750 is nothing. It's nothing. But will we need to go to Manamakoteng? Do you know how many people are around? We are too busy to do that. That dear sister, when the Lord starts blessing her, we'll say she's sleeping around. We'll say this and this and that. But look, from Manamakoteng, she wanted to bring people to church. Her only problem was transport. We are so full of ourselves. So consumed with our own things. I am the Lord's servant. Not when it is nice. Not when it suits me. I pray that revelation of Mary enters your heart. Enters your soul. I am not my own servant. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. And I'm going to serve him. Every opportunity he gives me. If he says to me, this is what I want, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Those are the people God blesses. Those are the people God lifts. Would you agree? I was going to preach another series. I had already prepared myself. He says to me, that's not what I want. I want you to preach this. I had to make a detour. Why? I am the Lord. I do what he wants, not what I like. The things I like to preach, I like them. But, you know, I'm not here to preach what I like. I'm here to preach what he wants. It is his church. It is his people. It is his purposes. Sometimes we reach a stage where we don't even ask him, what must we do this Sunday? Ah, you are the owner, most. Or you are the co-owner. You just do. I am the Lord's servant. Father, work on my heart from today. Work on my heart. I've lost this mind of Mary. I want you to recover my mind. I am your servant. Would you open your mouth and pray? Lord, work on my heart. First of all, thank him for the word. Ask him to work on your heart this morning. Come on, go ahead. Jesus, breathe on me by your spirit. Breathe on me. Forgive me where I'm missing it. But I thank you for showing me. Come on, go ahead. Go ahead. Talk to him right now. Talk to him right now. It's never too late to correct your steps. Shande breze de balagoda braga da bada. Go ahead, go ahead. Come on, talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Would you abandon your heart to him right now? Say, Jesus, take this heart. This heart is your heart. This body is your body. This mind is your mind. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. I'm not here to do my will. I'm not here to feel my own desires. I am the Lord's servant. Would you pray this morning and say, Lord, if you can use anything, I avail myself. May I be a vessel unto your glory. Father, use my life for your glory. Father, if you can use a donkey, Father, if you can use stones, if you can use anything, this morning, I say you can use me again. Mande breza kola bagada bagadaba. Mekazibre katora mandaraba. Father, I throw myself in your hands like Mary, and I say, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. Father, forgive me for many things you have shown me that you wanted me to do. I came up with excuses. I came up with reasons why I cannot do those things. Yet the same me can do everything else for other masters. Would you talk to him from the depths of your heart this morning and recommit yourself to him? I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. I'm here to do the will of my Father. I'm here to seek his will. Just like Jesus, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of the one who sent me. Oh, malagele valagadaba. Shande mekalovele gadamanama. Mende breze gadebalagadaba. Father, I pray for a fresh recommitment. Fresh recommitment. Fresh recommitment this morning. A fresh passion. A fresh passion for the Savior. A fresh passion for the Master. Where we are no more deceived. Stuck in our own minds. Stuck in our own plans and pursuits. Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. Because then the favor will come. The favor will come. The favor will come. When the Lord knows we will choose his will. He will pick us up. He will take you out of the group. Because he knows among all of these people, you will do my will. You will do my will. You will do my will. I don't have to doubt about you. I know if I empower you, you will do my will. You will not come up with excuses. Come up with reasons why it cannot be done. Mende breze prekatere fala mandora mashandara mandereba. Oh yes, Lord. Let this word bless us today. Let this word heal us today. Let this word restore us today. Let this word renew us today. Let this word revive the fire in our souls today. Thank you, Lord. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. Oh yes. Oh yes, I am the Lord's servant. I'm in his hands. You don't understand. I don't do what you like. I do what he likes. This is why our daughters are just messing up, because they don't know who they are serving. Our sons are messing up. They don't know who they belong to. The word has come to bring back things into perspective. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. Thank you, Jesus. If you are here this morning, you are not born again, I want to pray with you. Maybe you want to serve God, but The first act of service this morning, I want to tell you the truth. The first act of service is the opening of your heart to Jesus. He says, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. Would you let me in so I can take over your life and do my will through you? Accepting Jesus is all about letting go of your own will. I'm not saying you become a stupid and idiot person. I'm just saying that you yield to a new master. You yield to a new master. It's all about Jesus becoming your Lord. It's all about his purposes becoming at the forefront of your pursuits. Can Jesus become your Lord today? Your Lord. Your Lord. I'm going to count up to three. Saying, Pastor, I want Jesus to come into my life. I want Jesus to take over my life. I want him to be my Lord and my Savior. I'm going to count up to three. And when you hear three, please raise your right hand high. Pastor, pray with me. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. One. Two. Three. Raise your right hand if you want prayer. God bless you. 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 Don't be afraid. If you were blessed by the message, you should know everything coming after that can only be a blessing to you. Nobody wants to take anything from you. You can take your hands down now. If you are already born again this morning, you want to recommit yourself to Jesus. Maybe because you can see that you are no more the Mary you used to be. That was just after his heart. After what he wants. Seeking his will. Even forgetting to eat because I want to do the will of God. I want you to commit myself. And tell him, Jesus, I'm still your girl. Jesus, I'm still your boy. I'm here. Forgive me for straying away, but I'm here. Whatever you want, however you want it, whenever you want it, rule over me again. At the count of three, can raise your right hand. Pastor, I will pray for you. I want you to commit myself to Jesus. I can pray for you. One, two, three. Your hand up. I want you to commit to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want you to commit. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. All of you that raise your hand, first and second altar call, while we are preparing the communion, I want to encourage you, please come and join me here on stage so that we can pray together. Just put your hands together for them as they come to the stage. Come on, put your hands together for them. Come on, put your hands together for them as they come. Put your hands together for them. Put your hands together for them, church. We are recommitting ourselves to Jesus. Come on, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Can you raise your two hands to the heaven this morning? The presence of God is here. The grace of God is here. God has come to help us. Before I pray for you, I want you to pray for yourself. Is that God is saying, no, speak to me yourself. Tell me what you want. Open your mouth and talk to the Father. Tell him, Father, I'm here. I commit myself. I'm back, Lord. I'm back, Lord. I want to serve you. I want to do your will. Come on, talk to him. From the depths of your heart. From the depths of your heart. Jesus, I lay it all down. I lay it all down. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Come on, open your mouth and talk to Jesus.
Come, Jesus, come as you are.
Come on, talk to Jesus.
The King is calling you. Stand before his throne of grace. As you are. God has made a way. He paid the price for you. So come as you are. Oh, come. Power of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Can you lift up your hands to Jesus one more time and say after me, dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I believe I'm a sinner. Please forgive me my sins and wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. And on the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now I believe. My sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I am saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we want to thank you for these ones that have made a commitment. They took a step of faith. They are reaching out to you. And the Bible says you will draw nearer to us when we draw nearer to you, Lord. And your word says that we didn't choose you, but you chose us, Lord. We thank you for choosing these ones, oh God, and coming a firm, a stronghold of their life. We pray, cause them to become fruit that abides. May they bear fruit that abides as they themselves become the fruit that abides, oh God. May they rise up to become Timothy's in the midst of us, oh God. Encourage us, Lord. Those who will be sent, those who will go and build the church, those who will comfort your people, those who will see and do your work and do your will, Father God. Those who will be yielded unto you, Father God. May they rise up to become strong pillars in your house. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.